Yeah, we're really towards the end of Perek Chaf Aleph. And really, I just wanted to comment on the next of the last pasuk. This is Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Lamed, which the Gemara has a big arichas. It uses this pasuk for very important halachas. And this is the din of Ein Chachma V'Ein Tevuna V'Ein Heitzah L'Neged Hashem. There is no wisdom, and there is no understanding, and there is no wise counsel that can go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the simple meaning of this pasuk, which the Gra also learns according to the Pshat, is this refers to the impossibility of a human being to interfere with Hashem's gezeiros. But Hashem runs the world, so we devise this strategy, this thing, no matter how smart you are, no matter how discerning you are, no matter how deep is your counsel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is going to be done one way or the other. And therefore, one cannot defeat the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Gemara in Brachos has a different interpretation of this, and it uses Chachma, Tevuna, and Eitzah as people who are deserving of honor because of their chachma, their tefuna, and eitzah. And it's basically saying that you don't give honor to people if that will contravene the will of God. So specifically, the Gemara's case is, let's say a big Talmud Chacham is wearing shatnez, or whatever it is, and he doesn't know it. So the halacha is that either I rip it off or the person himself takes it off, even if that means he'll be naked. The pasuk that the Gemara in Brachas quotes is that the kavod that is owed to a chacham, whatever it would be, does not exist when you are violating a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, right? This is the halacha that Haraya, there's a machlokas. Actually, I misspoke because the case I gave you is actually a machlokas. The Gemara's case is, I myself am wearing shatnas, so when I become aware of it, I'm mechuyev to be poshet, even b'shuk, because my kavod or anyone's kavod is not docha, the honor that you have to owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Gemara in Brachos uses this as a whole segue to a discussion, when does kavod habrios allow you to transgress a Torah law? Because, for example, we find by Hashavas Aveda that if you're a zakein v'ein olafi chavodo, if you're an elderly person or a talmid chacham, and it's not kavod for you to run after a little dog, to pick up the dog and carry the dog. So a zakein v'ein olafi chavodo is pater from Hashavas Aveda, because we say that his kavod habrios allows him to override the chi of d'oraisa being meshav aveda. So the Gemara goes through a bunch of different rayas, but the Gemara's maskana is that there is a chiluk between shevi altasa and kumbi asay, meaning to say the following. Shatnas, when I put on shatnas, even though my continuing to wear it seems to be a passive action, but since it came through a maisa, since I transgressed the mitzvah of the Torah through the action, of levisha, so that is kumbi asay, and because it is a kumbi asay, so kavod habrios does not allow you to be over on it, and you're mechuyev to take it off. Masha'en kein hashavas aveda, I'm using kavod habrios not to actively transgress the Torah, I'm simply using kavod habrios to passively exempt me from a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, if it's shev the altasa, so kavod habrios is docha, the fulfillment of even a Torah commandment, if it is passively. And in fact, the Gemara says, another raya for this is the din of meis mitzvah, that if I encounter a body that has nobody to bury it, so the halacha is, I bury that body, even if that means I'm going to miss Korban Pesach, I'll become tamei and everything else, because kavod habrios is docha chiyuvei d'oraisa when the d'oraisa that you're transgressing is a passive violation rather than an active. So Hashavas Aveda is not giving back the Aveda, and Korban Pesach is not bringing the Korban Pesach. Right? This is called Shevi Altasa. Masha'enken Kolayim, although l'chayra, once again, you would argue, all I'm doing is not taking it off, but since the Aveira came through a Maisa, that has the Chaymer of Kumbi Asay. Now, the Gemara then says that where the underlying Isser is an Isser de Rabbanan, so then Kavod Habrios allows you to transgress even an Isser de Rabbanan, but Kumbi Asay. This would be an example of toilet paper if you're stuck in a bathroom without pre-cut tissue. So you're allowed to either be Korea or Korea with the Shinoi, to make it a Drabanan, because Kavod Habrios is going to be Docha. Now, let me just point out, there's an interesting machlekes, the Rambam and the Rush, regarding Shatnas itself. And that would be, the Gemara's case is that I'm walking in the streets and I become aware that I'm wearing Shatnas, so I'm a chliyev to take it off right away, even if that means I would be naked or whatever it would be. Now here's the question. What if you're wearing shatnas and you don't know it, and I know that you're wearing shatnas? Am I mechuyev to tell you so that you'll take it off? So there are rishonim that actually say that even though once you become aware you must rip it off, I'm not mechuyev to tell you until you get into a place where you could take it off in a modest way. And the reason is, because what is my chiyuv to tell you? My chiyuv to tell you is the mitzvah of tochacha, that if somebody's doing an aveira, you have to be mochiach. And since if I would give you the tochacha, it would cause you embarrassment because you'd have to rip it off. And my not giving you tochacha is a shevi altasa. So Kavod Habrios says I shouldn't give you the tochacha become the essay. Others learn differently. Others learn that if the underlying Aveira was a kumbi asay, then you're mechuyev to be medala to the person so that the person will take the action of taking off the Shabbos. This is a similar issue the Ramah brings about a Kohen. Let's say a Kohen is asleep, somebody, God forbid, died in the house. Now the Kohen is not allowed to stay in a house that there's a mace. Although you might ask the question, well, listen, as soon as the mace dies, the Kohen is tummy. What's the nafkamina if he stays another 5 minutes? Well, yeah, but the answer is, for whatever reason, it's not so pashut in Lumdus why that's the reason. But it is a dover pashut that even if the Kohen is tummy, he is mechuyev to leave the house. Right, he cannot be mamshich in the matzav of tumah. So the question becomes, let's say he's asleep in such an oipen that if I wake him up, he'll be either naked or in his pajamas or in his underwear or whatever it would be. So am I mechuyev to either wake him up or tell him? Actually, he's brought down that you are mechuyev to wake him up, but you shouldn't necessarily tell him why, because if you just say, we have to get out of here as soon as possible, that would give him time to get dressed. And it goes back to the same machlokas, that legabe your chiyuv of tochacha, you're not giving him tochacha is a shevi al tasa, and because of kavod habrios, you're allowed to be moneya tochacha.
If I need him to wake him up, why can't we just leave him sleeping?
No, because you mafresh him yisura. I mean, you do have to get him out of the house. The only thing is you do it in a way that will not involve a bizayon of kavod habrios, right? All right, so this is going to be the same machlokas. So basically, therefore, this pasuk has two interpretations. The standard, the pasuk interpretation is that you cannot defeat God's hashgacha pratis in the world by all of the strategies and all of the chachma that you have. And the Gemara's understanding of the pasuk is that when it comes to a doraisa b'kum v'yasei, to transgress something b'kum v'yasei, and such a situation, the Makam Shiyesh Chilul Hashem in the Gemara's Lashon, when God's name is desecrated, and here Chilul Hashem just means any violation of the Torah, Ein Chokin Kavod L'Rav, we do not give Kavod even to a Talmud Chacham. But the Gemara then said, that doesn't apply if it's Shevi Al Tasa, or it doesn't apply if it's an Ishud Rabbanan, right? So Kavod Abriyas is a very relevant factor for that.
That's from the case of Shatnez.
Yeah.
This could be a question on any case, but let's say the guy you put on the Shabbos put it on the opponent and fell on him or something. Why is there a mitzvah tochacha? He's not doing a vera.
Well, the halacha is that even if someone put the Shabbos on your bionis, as soon as you become aware, you are mechuyev to remove it. There isn't a continuing issue to be lovesh. Lovesh is not just putting it on, but it's having it on.
That would also be every second. Is the shita every second you have?
Yeah. Well, in fact, even in terms of malchus, if witnesses gave you hasra to remove it, and you kept it on, you would get malchus for not removing it, even though you didn't commit any avera at the time of the levitcha, either because you didn't know or because somebody put it on you against your will. You can get malchus for failure to remove. It's actually called a continuation of the original Maisa of Levitia.
But if a guy didn't do it, was totally bonus, though, what's the mitzvah to stop him? If he's not doing anything wrong.
Well, the onus was putting it on him.
But he doesn't realize. He doesn't realize it's on.
No, so that would be a shogi. It wouldn't be an onus. In other words, onus is when somebody forces it on him. Shogeg, it's like any other Arab shogeg. A person's eating non-kosher food that he thinks is kosher. Right? Are you mechuyev to tell him? To a pashtus you are, because he's doing another Arab shogeg. So this would be called a shogeg, wouldn't be called an onus, mamish. Okay. All right, so now let's move to a perek chafes. Somebody's chicken we looked at a real, real long time ago, so it'll probably be worthwhile to look at them again. Here. Yeah, the pasuk I want to look at, there's a very long hora of the grah here, and that is a famous pasuk He. Pasuk He says, Sinim pachim v'derech ikesh shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. So there are many interpretations. The Gemara itself interprets sinim to be cold, a lashon of sina, and pachim is heat. And if you recall, there are two mamorei chazal. One mamor chazal, which is the better known, is hakol bidei shemayim. Everything that happens to a person is decreed by Hashem. Chutz meyira shemayim, except the decision to fear Hashem. That's bechira, meaning whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm sick, whether I'm healthy, whether I'm successful or not successful. That's Hashem's gezeira. Does not depend on me, meaning I could have the greatest ishtadlus in the world and I won't be zeicha to Ashiris, because that's totally on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the one thing that is totally on my decisions, not on Hashem's decision, is the decision to do mitzvos or to do averos, to fear Hashem, to obey Hashem, or not to obey Hashem. Right? That is the concept of bechira, of free will. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyira shemayim. I know my Rosh Hashiva, when he would ask Bacharim at the beginning of his man, are you going to learn well this man, or whatever it is? So people would give a firm answer. They would say, Yemirza Hashem, if Hashem desires, I will learn well. So he said, that's not a good answer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly wants you to learn well, but he doesn't make you learn well. The real question is, do you want to learn well? Do you want to learn? HaKol b'day shemayim, chutz miyira shemayim. That's one Maimar Chazal, that's very well known. There's another Maimar Chazal that's a little less well known. HaKol b'day shemayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, chutz mitzinim pachim, except for colds and fevers. Which basically says that a person does have a certain responsibility for his health. A person cannot, let's say, go out in the cold without a sweater, without a coat, because he'll say, well, listen, if Hashem wants me to get sick, I'll get sick either way. And if he doesn't want me to get sick, I won't get sick either way. A person has an achrayas, meaning that's nichlal in the decisions, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees health or illness, but Hashem's decree may depend on how you behave. And Chazal quote this pasuk: "Sinim pachim b'derech ikesh." Colds and fevers are because of the stubbornness of a person. He decides to be irresponsible. Shomer nafsho. If you truly care about your soul, yirchak mehem. You will keep far away from this, because after all, if the guf is harmed, the soul will not be able to serve Hashem in a proper way. So, if you're a shomer nafsho, you will also be someone who is concerned about the condition of your guf, and one cannot simply say God will decree one way or the other. So Chazal understands sinim pachim. Sina is a lashon of, or sinim is a lashon of sina, which is cold. Sina is cold. Pachim, it's not clear exactly where that comes from, but pachim is understood as heat. As heat. And therefore, it just refers to colds and fevers, which Chazal generalized to mean the condition of your health has to be something that you take achrayas for. And this has all sorts of implications, diet and exercise and everything else. But again, the pasuk itself is very, very exact in saying, very meduyak in saying, that why must I guard my health? Because I need to be a shomer nafsho. I guard my health as a means so that the neshama will be able to fulfill what it needs to do in this world. That is the purpose. If a person glorifies the taking care of the body as an end in and of itself, then bichlal, there's no toelis, and it takes away from the reason why we live in this world. Taking care of the body cannot be the reason for the body, right? The body cannot have it be its own justification. It's a justification as a means to something else. Now, the Gra does not even bring the Gemara, and the Gra has a totally different translation. And the Gra says, Sinim are kotsim, thorns, and pachim are pits. Now that already, you find throughout Tanakh that a pach is a trap that an animal could be captured in. So it would be some type of pit that an animal could fall in. Now here, he has a very, very big arichus of a Gemara and such. I think maybe even 2 years ago, 2 years ago, I may have looked at this, but it'd be kedai to review it again. It's been a long time. And that is, this is a Gemara and Saita. The Gemara and Saita is on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. And it goes back on an earlier pasuk, but the Gemara is going to connect it ingeniously to this pasuk. And the pasuk goes, Kiner Mitzvah V'Tayra Or. Right, one of the most beautiful, famous psukim of Mishle. A mitzvah is like a candle that illuminates the darkness. And the Torah is like the light of the day. Okay, so a mitzvah is described as a ner that illuminates the darkness, and the Torah is described as the light of the day. And then there's a third thing in the pasuk, v'derech chayim teichachas musar, and the teichacha, the chastisement and the guidance of musar, is like a road that leads to life. So you have three things here. The mitzvah is like a candle, which seems to be a torch in this case. The Torah is like the light of the day. And learning and understanding Musar and being makabel, tochacha and criticism is a road that puts you on life. So now you're ready to travel, right? You got your torch for night travel, and you have the light of the day for the day travel, and you have the right road. So those are the three things. Yeah.
When we say the mitzvah is a candle, do we say the mitzvah is the flame, or the mitzvah is the solid...
Yeah, so that's a very good question. For purposes of this discussion that the Gemara is going to assume, the mitzvah is a flame, the flame of a candle. We're going to see that I see two or three psukim away from here, he goes into a different thing, and he seems to look at the candle as the solid. In fact, you notice the way I translated it. In other words, when we say the mitzvah is a candle and the Torah is an or, the way I said it, which is kind of what the Gemara is going over here, is that the mitzvah is the flame of a candle and the Torah is the light of day. Now, in a later interpretation, having nothing to do with this pasuk, the Gemara seems to be assuming the mitzvah is the solid part of the candle and the Torah is the flame of the candle. That's a different metaphor. The metaphor we're using now, you'll see from the Gemara in Saita, it's not just the Gemara, the metaphor of the Gemara in Saita is that the mitzvah is the flame of a candle and the Torah is the light of the day. And this is the Gemara quotes, we do the Gemara, this is a drasha of Rav Menachem Barav Yaisi. And he says, Tala, I'm reading the Gemara's Lashon, Tala ha-kosev es ha-mitzvah b'ner. A mitzvah is compared to a ner. The Torah is compared to or. Mashal li'adam shaya mahalach v'ishan laila v'yafela. Imagine a man that is wandering around in pitch black darkness. This is very emphatic. Darkest of the dark. Ishan, three words. Ishan laila v'yafela. He's afraid of a lot of things in that darkness. Misyare min ha-kaitzim, min ha-pachasim, min ha-barkanim. Number one, he's afraid of thorns. He's afraid of pits, right? I don't see. I could fall into a pit. I could hit thorns or barbed wire. Umechayara, there could be wild animals. I could be attacked by a lion. Min ha-listim. And there may be robbers, armed bandits. And not only that, I also don't know what direction I'm going in. I don't see any signposts. Ve'eina yodea be'eza derech mahalach. So the person starts off in a totally negative situation. He's afraid of kaitzim, barkanim. The Gemara is not mahalach. This is the one thing where the Gemara is not masbir. Kaitzim and barkanim actually mean the same thing. They're two types of thorns. And here, contrary to his normal derech, where he normally gives you a specific interpretation of every single element, for purposes of this shtickle, he just takes kaitzim and barkanim as one thing. I find that particularly difficult, since they're separated by pachasim in the middle. It doesn't say, if it would say kaitzim and barkanim, all right, you could say, it says kotzim, pachasim, barkanim. Pachasim will be different. Pachasim are pits. Okay. But putting that question aside, so initially he's afraid of all of these things. Nizdanola vuka shalor. He gets a torch, which is the ner. The ner is the avuka shalor. So some of his problems are immediately solved. He no longer has a problem of kaitzim, pachasim, barkanim. He no longer has a problem of thorns or pits because he can see, but he still has a problem of chayara and listing. If anything, maybe his problem is even worse. Now he has a light. The wild animals can see him. The listing can see him. And of course, he still doesn't know what direction he should go into. So, when it's Allah Amud HaShachar, the Torah is or. When you have Amud HaShachar, so the Chayos Ros, which are largely nocturnal, and the Listim that go around at night when nobody's around, they're out of the picture. So therefore, the mitzvah saved him from Kaitzim, we'll have to see what that means, Kaitzim, Barkanim, Pachasim. The Torah saves him from Chaya Ra, the Listim, but he has one remaining problem. I still don't know what direction I should go to. So that is Kivin Shigia Leprashas Derachim. When he reaches the fork in the road where they would normally have signs, you know, this way here, this way here, this way here. Ah, Baruch Hashem, now I know the derech I should walk on. That is tochachas musr. That is the musr where you... In other words, the point is that even you're learning... In other words, it's basically telling me this. We're going to have to define, and this is what the Gra is going to define, we're going to have to define what is the danger of kotsim, barkanim, which are the same, pachasim, which are pits, which mitzvah saves me from, and what is the chaya ra and the listim that Torah saves me from. But what's interesting is that it seems that even after your Torah and after your mitzvah, you may not know the proper path of life. Because once again, there's a big nafkamina between what you might call general Torah and how to apply the Torah to your own life. A person could learn, let's say you know, you learn all the yeshivas and mesechtas, all the yeshivas and Torah, right? So you have all the chakiras of chazaka and rov, and you know, and obviously that brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But without Musar, which tries to focus directly on the struggles that I have in my ethics and my character and how to make decisions, the theoretical Torah that you learn does not necessarily give you that specific direction. And that is why the Gra is saying that is the, that's what the Gemara means when it says it is the tochacha of Musar, that is the derech hachayim, that is equivalent to the prashas derachim. Now, before we even get to the specifics, the one thing that is identified just in terms of imagery, just metaphor, not yet the meaning of the metaphor, is Torah is matzil you from two enemies. Torah is matzil you from chaya ra and listim. Right? Mitzvah is matzil you from kotsim, barkon, and pachasim. Torah is matzil you from chaya, ra, and listim. So I just want to point out that weiter on, the Gra has, using this Gemara, he has a beautiful interpretation of a pasuk. Look at pasuk Yud Gimel, the same perek. Pasuk Yud Gimel is a single pasuk, which talks about laziness. How when a person is lazy, he invents all sorts of reasons why he shouldn't do things. So the example he gives is, Amar Atzel, Ari Bachutz. There's a lion outside. I can't go to the Beis Medrash. There's a lion there. Or, B'toch Rechavot, Eratzeach. If I go into the streets, I might get killed. Again, maybe not as funny, unfortunately, as it might sometimes be. But the point basically is, and it's a shame, Israel should be muscle, all of Klal Yisrael from this. But the point is, a lazy person makes up obstacles, even though they don't exist. But the Gra has the Gevaldik Adiyak. Why does he pick these two Mishalim? Because the lazy person is the person who doesn't want to be Miyageya B'Taira. Now, Taira is matzil you from the wild animal and from the listim. The wild animal is the Ari, and the listim is the Royotseach, right? So that's the Pshad. So in a way, what the Gra is actually saying is that maybe this Otzel is actually telling the truth in a catch-22 way. Meaning, yeah, you're right. By not learning, you are going to face the danger of the lion, which is the chayara, and the rotseach, that is the listim, right? But puntakert, if you would learn, you would be nisal, right? Mamish mitoyek. Why these are the two mishalim that are picked? Because Torah itself is matzil. Again, we haven't explained the metaphor. We'll explain it, but the Gemara says Torah is matzil mechayara v'listim. If you're an otzel, you're worried about the ari, and you're worried about the listim. That's the rotseach. Very mitoyek. He then goes a little further, just to digress, but sticking that pasuk. He points out that chutz and rechovot are two different words. Chutz is outside of the city. There's an ari outside of the city. Rechovot are the streets within the city. So the Gra has a whole arichas, just to say bekitzer, we know that there are four levels of limud ha-Torah. And the four levels of limud ha-Torah are pshat, they're spelled out in the word pardes, which means garden or orchard. Paradise actually comes from pardes. So there's pshat, which is the simple interpretation based on the translation of the words, although pshat is not so pashut. You can give a whole shiur on what's the pshat in pshat, but okay. But there's pshat, that is the simple translation of things. Then there is jurush, in which you have various supplementary interpretations and additional ideas. Then you have remez and sod. Now the truth of the matter is, the two basic ones are actually pshat and sod. These are the extremes. Pshat is the outer meaning, and sod is the inner meaning. But the way it works is, jurash is an amplification and elaboration of pshat. And remez is simply an introduction to sod. Remez, so even though we have a pshat, remez, drash, and sod, but in fact drash is connected to pshat, and remez is connected to sod. That's why, for example, you see the Vilna Gaon has a Perush and Megillas Esther. So it says, al derech ha-pshat v'al derech ha-remez. It's two different. So you'll see, remez is what we would call Kabbalah, which is sowed, but it's sowed in a very abbreviated kitzer, dika way. So the Gra then says, fascinatingly enough, that the four chalakim of Torah are connected to the four levels of our soul. We have nefesh, the animal soul, the ruach, neshama, and what's called chaya. Actually five levels, but the yechida is beyond that. Yechida is outside of us. So he says, pshat is connected to the nefesh, and then he says, drash is connected to the ruach, and then remez is connected to the neshama, and sod is connected to the chaya. So he wants to say like this. He wants to say that the Yetzer Hara, this is just saying it very, very quickly, just in that, because it's very deep to understand this fully, I don't either, but he wants to say that the Yetzer Hara of Atzlus only gets me at the lower levels of my soul, the Nefesh and the Ruach. But at the level of Neshama and Chaya, there is only purity and goodness. And that's why the Gra says, once a person is Isaac in Remez and Sait, the Yetzer Hara is not going to be Shailat on him anymore, because he's already accessing a Torah that belongs to the higher levels of his neshama. But when a person is only holding in pshat and drash, which is really what they're learning, is pshat and drash, so then there's still a Yetzer Hara of Atzlus, because that is the Torah that connects to the nefesh and the ruach. So he then wants to say the following. He wants to say that chutz, outside the town, is a remez to pshat, because that's really the furthest from the king's palace. That's the superficial understanding. Rechovos, the streets, you're wandering around the streets of the palace. That already is called Zerash. So he wants to point out that pshat and Zerash will save you. And again, he says, pshat will save you from the chayara, and Zerash will save you from the listim. And Remez and Said, Bichlal, you don't even have those Yetzer Haras. Okay, so he connects it. But let's go back. So we have this Gemara, and the Gemara again says the following. The Gemara says, there are three things that happen. The nair of a mitzvah saves me from the thorns and from the bechasim, the pits. The or of the Torah saves me from the chaya ra and the listim. And then the derech chayim, the road, the precious derechim, is the tochachas musar that will show me eza derech mahalach. So what are these things? What are these things in actuality? Meaning, what are the bechasim that a mitzvah saves me from? What is the chaya ra and the listim that the Torah saves me from? So here, there's kind of a very complicated structure. The Gra says that we know that a person... Now, okay, this is in a way going to contradict what I just said. I had just told you before, four chalakim of the neshama. We talked about nefesh, ruach, neshama, and chaya. Now that is what the Gra says, and I see that the Mefarshim actually asked the Kasha. That is what the Gra talked about in Pasuk Yud Gimel. In this shtickle, he doesn't talk about the Chaya at all. I mean, he talks about the Chaya Ra, but that's also confusing. But he doesn't talk about the Chaya as a level of the Neshama. Here he says, and again, it's a stira. Apparently, it was taken down at different times, and the Gra said different things, and we don't have a yishuv to make everything consistent. But in this shtickle, he says, a human being is morkav, is composed of four things. A guf, a nefesh, a ruach, and a neshama. Doesn't mention the chaya. Right? That's called naran. Guf v'naran. Naran is nun resh nun. So guf, nefesh, ruach, neshama. Again, it's a tzorech iyun why we don't bring in the chaya at this point. Okay, now, he wants to say that the four chalakim of a human being, the guf and the three chalke neshama, correspond to the four elements that exist in creation. We say that there are four basic elements. We have fire, water, dirt, afar, and ruach, wind. So he wants to say that afar is the foundation of our bodies. Our bodies are afar. He says ruach is the next one, right? The ruach is the ruach, the wind, the spirit, the air. Then we say, Yeah, afar is neged haguf. Mayim is keneged the nefesh. Ruach is keneged the ruach. And eish is keneged the neshama.
What's the afar?
Afar is the guf. Okay, in other words, we're going to make three lists here, actually. Three lists. You got to be sure to keep this in mind. List number one are the four parts of a human being. That's guf, nefesh, ruach, neshama. And we're not mentioning chaya. Those are the four parts of you. Now, the four parts of you correspond to the four elements. The guf corresponds to afar. The nefesh corresponds to mayim. The ruach corresponds to ruach. And the neshama corresponds to eish.
That's the highest level?
That's the highest level. That's the eish that goes up to Hashem. So that is taking the four parts of the human being and comparing it to the four elements. Now, there's a third comparison that we make. And that is, we compare the four parts of the human being to the four levels of creation. We have domain, which is inanimate, like a stone. We have tzomeach, which is vegetative. chai, which is animal, and medaber, which is human being. Now, these are four categories in the world, but since a human being is an olam katan, within the human being, we have these four levels. The guf, which by itself is inanimate. The guf wouldn't do anything without. The guf is domain. The nefesh, the physical, biological life, is someach, like vegetative. The ruach, which is the emotional capacity, is the chai. And then the shama, which is the seichel, is the medaber. Okay, this is complicated. So we have three different comparison lists here. We have the guf and three levels of the soul, and they correspond to the four elements of Reit, Eish, Ruach, Ofor, Mayim, and it corresponds to the levels of inanimate, vegetative, animal, and medaber. So now, the Gra wants to say the following. The Gra wants to say that we serve Hashem with everything. We serve Hashem with everything. Right? We have to serve Hashem with our animalistic passions as well, with our eating and our drinking and the like. But each chelik of the neshama, of our totality, each chelik of our total existence, can have a pachisus, can have a deficiency, which we have to combat and we have to fight. So he says the following. Laziness and inertia comes from the guf. Because the guf is inanimate, because the guf is domain, because the guf itself is inert, so the kaved haguf, the heaviness of the guf, so to speak, is mailed within us a certain heaviness which manifests itself as inertia and laziness. And that's connected to the aside of Afor. Now, the nefesh, which is the animal soul, that gives rise to taiva, a seeking of pleasure, right? So the guf has a pachisus of atzlus. The nefesh has a pachisus of taiva. Okay, so guf is associated with atzlus, and that's the yesod ha'afor. The nefesh is associated in a negative way with taiva, which is the yesod of mayim, because mayim is a source of pleasure, although we use it for taira as well. Now, we then come to the ruach. The ruach is more of the emotional strivings of man. And there the pachisus of the ruach is gaiva, in which the ruach, a person, the animal soul does not see gaiva. Gaiva is actually a higher level functioning. Animals just want to eat and reproduce. Okay, so basic taivas come from the nefesh, but things like gaiva and power, and anger by definition, which is when you don't get the power that you want, that is connected to the ruach, yeah.
Like lions, they're like very territorial.
Yeah.
And if somebody bigger comes in, automatically they recognize it as a threat. They meet their enemy, and they are. It looks like there's an aspect of gaiva. They recognize a problem before it becomes a problem.
Yeah, but it's not because of gaiva. It's because of territorial self-preservation. It's simply a matter of, I want to keep my territory. Meaning, it's not a psychological. Animals don't have psychological issues that I want to be. You know, I want to be better than you. That's not the way an animal thinks.
Okay, animals will fight over a woman animal.
Yeah, they'll fight over a thing. In other words, it's only a physical thing. They'll only fight over a physical thing. They will not fight over. You hurt my feelings. You know, then an animal doesn't. Yeah, it's an interesting question. But the way we normally understand it, animals do not fight over emotional issues. They fight over physical issues of survival, of mating, or the like. So you see, the pachisus that comes from the guf is the yesod ha'afor, which is inertia, laziness. The pachisus of the nefesh, which is the yesod hamayim, is taiva and desire for pleasure. The pachisus of the ruach, which is connected to ruach, the spirits, is gaiva, anger, power over people. And then finally, the pachisus of the neshama is only intellectual, meaning the neshama itself has no inherent defects, but the neshama's goal is to try to perceive Hashem, and there will be limits in the neshama's ability to perceive the emes. So a pachisus is its inability to fully see the emes. In other words, because the neshama might not be strong enough at a given point, possibly because of all of the other counter-influences. So the Gra says, this is what we say, when you look at pechasim, pits are inanimate, right? They're dirt. Pits right? So when a person falls into a pit, that's a remes to the pechisus that comes from the guf, which is inertia and laziness. Kotsim and barkanim are thorns. They're someach. They are the pechisus that comes from the someach part of my neshama, which is called the nefesh, and that refers to taiva. So, mitzvos will save you from kotsim, barkanim, and pechasim. Now, again, as I indicated, the Gra here, strangely enough, does not give us any distinction at all between kotsim and barkanim, so we'll just have to take it the same. Kotsim and barkanim are the thorns, which are the pechisus, the deficiency coming from the vegetative, which is taiva. Pechasim, which are inanimate, they are the pechisus that comes from the nefesh, that is laziness and atzlus. And mitzvos will be like the candle that saves you from that. By doing mitzvos,
like the light of a mitzvah is the light of a mitzvah.
That's like a light of a candle. By doing mitzvos, I will get the strength to overcome my laziness, which are pechasim, and my taivas, which are the kaitzim and the barkanim. Mitzvos are mesaken my guf, and mitzvos are mesaken my nefesh. Mitzvos are mesaken my guf, and that is the pechasim, because now I see the pith. And mitzvos are mesaken my nefesh, which are the taiva, and that is the kaitzim and the barkanim. Okay? Ah. But we still have a problem. Even if I do all of the mitzvos, I still have chayara, wild animals, and I still have listim. So here he wants to say the following. He wants to say, a wild animal refers to the midos ros that come from the ruach, such as gaiva, anger. In fact, anger itself could be described as a wild animal. Right? So under those circumstances, it is the Torah that will be mesakein your ruach, which is the chayara, meaning it'll be mashlim your midos, give you midos tovos, although I'll mention the kasha with that. And then he says, listim is referring to the kilkulim of the neshama, as if to say they stole your mind, meaning when your mind cannot perceive correct ideas, limud ha-Torah will be miyasher, will strengthen your seichel. So that is why the idea that the or of Torah, just like the light of the day, like remember the mashal, the light of the day dispels the chayos ros and the listim, right? The light of the day gets rid of the chayara and the listim. So the pshat is, limud hatayra will get rid of the wild animal within you, the bad midos, which is a tikkun for the ruach, and the stolen ideas, the ideas that I don't perceive reality correctly, that's the tikkun for the neshama. But you're still missing, of course, the idea of how to apply it to my everyday life. That's the third thing, that's the Derech Chaim, Teichichas Musar, and that is the precious Derechim. So therefore the Gra is saying that the mashal is that mitzvos are mesakein the pagamim, the defects of the nefesh, the guf and the nefesh, and Torah is mesakein the defects of the ruach and the neshama. And in that way, you're mashlim yourself through mitzvahs and Torah, but even so, you need mussar, because otherwise you don't really know how to apply it to the particulars of your life. Yeah.
Does Torah also work to take care of both taiva as well as atzlus? You know, we said mitzvah to that, but is Torah powerful that it's called?
Well, based on the mashal, apparently it would, because once again, I mean, the same way the kaisim, barkanim, and pachasim disappear when I have a torch, they certainly disappear when I have light of the day. Now, I just want to point out, as I say, you'll often find either stiris or at least the different emphases throughout the parish, because it was written at different times. Different shtiklis were written at different times. But do you remember, I think we talked about this, a very, very famous and controversial passage of the Gaon's commentary, where the Gaon says at one point, or is quoted as saying at one point, that the reason why Torah is compared to water, everyone knows the statement of Chazal, that Torah is nimshelas lamayim, Torah is compared to water, and so you know, we give a million reasons. Water purifies, water goes from high to low, so the Torah leaves the Baal Gaiva and goes to the humble. Water is necessary for life, you know, many, many reasons. But the Gra says quite an amazing reason. He says, just like water, when you put water on soil, whatever is in the soil, the water will cause to grow. If there's wheat in the soil, you'll get wheat. If there's roses, rose seeds in the soil, you'll get roses. If there is poisonous weeds, you will get poisonous weeds. So the Gra says that Torah will magnify, intensify, and strengthen whatever elements are in your character. If in your character is modesty, humility, kindness, and consideration, Torah will make you stronger and deeper in those characteristics. Now, that's not controversial. That, you know, everybody would agree with that. But what's controversial is the second part of the statement. And if chas v'shalom, a person has anger and gaiva and arrogance, the Torah, he learns, will be like water that will strengthen the midas ros of a person. And he actually says, this is the meaning of the Gemara. I mean, it's, you know, once you hear it, this is what the Gemara actually says. The Gemara talks about Torah as a sam chayim and a sam mavet. Zocha nase lo kesam chayim, lo zocha nase lo kesam mavet. Now, what do you mean? What do you mean, sam mavet? How could Torah be a sam mavet? The Gra says it's a sam mavet because if you have midos mushchasais, the Torah will make it worse. Now, this is quite amazing. Now, first of all, so does that mean I shouldn't learn Torah? Let's say I have bad midos. So what's the pshat? Don't learn Torah because your midos will be worse? I assume that certainly the Vilna Gaon wouldn't say that, but the truth is, I mean, lahalacha, we don't even say that. Now, I just want to point out that I used to say this word sometimes, I stopped saying it because I once said it at a mentor's mission and a Lakewood guy just berated me, so I said, how dare you say that, so whatever, okay. So I don't use it anymore. But because he says he doesn't believe it's true, it can't be true. The Gra says it. It's in the Sefer here. But the thing is, it is a contradiction a little bit, because here and at many other places as well, the Gaon clearly says that limud haTorah is a refuah for the midas rais that are called chayara, which is really gaiva and chemdas hamamon, and power and the like, as opposed to his mahalach earlier, where he said Torah is nimshelas kamayim. So you have to fend for this. And of course, the Yerushalmi also says fakert from the Gra. The Yerushalmi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, halvai, if Bnei Yisrael would leave me but still learn Torah, shehamor sheba, the light of the Torah, machziro lemutav, will bring them back to me. That's the Yerushalmi. That even if they don't believe in God, which is an important point sometimes. In other words, it's very nogeya in how you work with Balei Tshuva, because there are people that have an approach, sometimes even within Or Sameach, that until I convince you that the Torah is min hashamayim and there's a God, I can't learn with you. There's no purpose in learning Mishnah or Chumash with you. You have to first accept that the Torah is from God. Not true at all. Absolutely not true at all. For Kert, it's often going to be the learning of the Torah itself is going to convince the person the Torah comes from God. It's not an antecedent thing that you have to establish first. And this is what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi says, the light of the Torah will bring people to Hashem. So at that point, it's a mitzvah liyashiv. So the guy from Lakewood, although he was incorrect in saying that he didn't believe what I said was true, but it is true that it does contradict many, many other teachings. One has to fend for that. Yeah.
Could it be the motivation of the person? So if a person's learning it, because people do learn Torah in order to disprove it. So if a person's learning it to help him learning a certain part, to learn the rules, you can break them or find things. So if the motivation is rotten to start with, then it will just make him worse. But if he's...
So it could be. So it could be, you want to be myself, that maybe when the Gra says... learning Torah will make your bad midos bad, that is when you're not learning it for the purpose of improving your midos. There's vayav bad midos, but I'm learning Torah because I want to become better than Enochinami. So at that point you have what he's saying here, that the Torah will be misakin the pagamim of the ruach. Yeah, it could be. I think that might be a mahalach. I think the motivation is very important. The Torah will be matire you when you want it to be matire you in that way. Mm-hmm. And even the Yerushalmi that says, even if you don't believe, even if you leave Hashem, first of all, leaving Hashem may not be the same as bad midos. There may be two different things. In fact, there's another statement the Gram made. The Gram made that it's the derech of kaifrim, to have very good midos, because that creates the nisayon of not following them. he says that sometimes you will find abikorsim who are very, very nice people, and that's something to be aware of. So that's not a stira anyway. I mean, that's not even talking about bad midos necessarily.
Maybe says that this is controversial. It's not.
Let me put it this way. I don't think anybody quotes the Gra and disagrees with it. But what I'm saying is, it's very, very common in many, many Svarim that they talk about the purifying aspect of Limud HaTorah. And the Gra himself, talks about that many, many times. So I wouldn't say that they would disagree, but you'd have to qualify or limit the Gra, whatever, in order to understand it properly. But be it as it may, so going back to the Raj, so this was a long arichas to explain. We didn't explain this pasuk, right? This is a long arichas. And it's funny, because Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or is a pasuk in Mishnah. If you look at the pasuk there, the Gra doesn't say anything. The whole Hesper of Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, he says it over here. And what does he explain? He explains what a mitzvah does and what Torah does, and he explains the mashal of the pechasim and the kosim and the barkanim and the chayara and the listim. And that's why Viter, the Otzel, who doesn't want to learn, the two dangers he'll face are the Chayara and the Rotseach, which is the Listim, etc. So how do we now explain this? So now the Gra simply says, here we're talking about a beginner in the road. And therefore, the initial two dangers a person faces who's far from Hashem is he faces Kaitzim, Tzinim, are the Kaitzim of Arkanim, and the Pachim. And therefore, this is pi game, right? This represents inertia, laziness. That's the pachim. And the tzinim, the thorns, represent the tzomeach, the vegetative, which is the taiva. And therefore, when a person is stubborn and doesn't want to do the mitzvos, he will be beset with taiva and laziness. Shomer nafsho yirchak mem. The guf and the nefesh are considered one. If you want to protect your guf and your nefesh, you will keep away from these, and that would be by mitzvos. That would be by mitzvos, right? Because the mitzvos are the thing. I mean, Torah will do it too, but the mitzvos will focus on the taiva and on the atzlus, right? So that's how he works. Again, it's a very, very, very intricate interpretation. Yeah.
This one cold is
Well, the Gra is not interpreting yet. Sinim does not mean cold. He says sinim refers to thorns. See, in this pasuk, he touches up sinim are kotsim, and pachim are pechosim, pits. See, he's translating it differently than Chazal. So he says if mamish corresponds to what a mitzvah does. A mitzvah is a ner that's matzel you from pechasim and kaitzim and barkanim, and since that's connected to guf and the nefesh, that's why I say shomer nafsho yirchak yirchak mehim. Okay.
Based on the way the Gemara uses that pasuk,
yeah,
im b'dishamayim chutz mi yirshamayim,
yeah,
and also chutz mi pachim sinim pachim,
yeah,
could it be that yirshamayim includes sinim pachim? Meaning, if the idea is shomer nafsho, I was like, this is also including the idea of mitzvah.
Yeah. No, that's very true. You know, it's very similar. It reminds me of a who was the nice one? Rav Zal Salanter got married. He made a deal with his wife that he said that all inyanim of ruchnius says he wanted to be machria, and all inyanim of gashmius she should be machria. So it is said that she said later, as a kind of a joke, he said, you know, I never get to make any decision because every possible Gashmius decision is a Ruchmius decision. Which is, you know, which really fits what they're saying, and that is, I decide whether I want to serve Hashem or not. Now, if my health is going to be compromised, I will not be able to serve Hashem that well. So therefore, by definition, a decision to endanger my health is a decision to not care about Avodas Hashem enough that I'll take care of my health. So in a sense, that would be nichlal in a person's bechira as well. So that could very well be that's a nichlal in his yirah shemayim, a kol b'yirah shemayim chutz mi'yirah shemayim.
So it comes out the only choice we really have in life is yirah shemayim.
Right. That's really
everything
the ultimate
else,
choice.
No,
well, everything else is a derivative of that. In other words, when you choose to take a job, when you choose to move somewhere, when you choose to go to school or go to yeshiva, so your decision is based on how much Yirah Shemayim you have. Because if every decision you're asking yourself, does this bring me closer to Hashem or not, so that's going to be a Yirah Shemayim decision. So it's going to be your decision. So it does, right. Now, the consequences are up to Hashem, in other words, but the decision about whether this will bring you closer to Hashem or further is your decision in that way. Okay, let's do another one. The next pasuk is also a very, very famous and beloved pasuk. That is, Chanoch l'nar al pi darko, educate, train a young person according to his derech, Gam ki yaskin, so even when he becomes old, lo yasur mimena, he will not turn away from it. So here, the Gra says the following. The Gra says that every person has a derech, and that derech is based on his mazel. Person is born under a certain constellation. Now again, Chazal talked about the idea that your personality is determined by the mazel you were born under. If you were born under the mazel of Mars, the red planet, you will be a lover of bloodshed. But you can choose to be a mohel, or a sheichet, or a listim, or a reitzeach. But you can't choose not to love blood. And the Gra says that the concept of chinuch is not to be mishana a person's basic nature. That's not possible. If you try to be mishana a person's basic nature, the Gra says, maybe when he's young he'll listen to you because he's afraid you're going to beat him or yell at him. But when he gets old and he's free of you, he'll just go his own way. It's a very, very big yisod in chinuch. The only chinuch that is effective is a chinuch that seeks to improve a person within the parameters of the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, and not a chinuch that seeks to make him into something else. And that's the idea. When it's, that's what the pasuk is saying. When you're machanechem al pi darko, when he's yaskin, lo yasur mimeno. So what's the diyuk? If you're machanechem shelo al pi darko, then maybe you'll have a chinuch when he's a nar, but when he's yaskin, he is going to be yasur mimeno. Right, that's the deal. And he talks about the idea that David HaMelech, right, David HaMelech was also an ish admoni, a reddish, a ruddy person, which refers to the idea he was born under Mazal Madim, and therefore he made Muhammad, but he made the Muhammad for HaKadosh Baruch and the like. So this is a very, very important saying. In fact, this is even one of the Ramazim of Bris Mila. You know, one of the Ramazim of Bris Mila, the Sfarim say, is when you're machnis a child to the bris, the way we're machnis a Jew to the bris of Avraham Avinu is by uncovering and revealing what is already there. There's the whole surah of a bris mila, is to cut, uncover. That's mila and priya. What's the pshat? A bris with Hashem is not to make you into a different person. It's to uncover the godless that is already within a person. Right? And that's the Gam Ki Yaskin Lo Yasurimenu. So again, it's a very, very big not Chiddush, but it's a very big Yisait in all Chinuch. That's Chinuch. See, it's interesting. When we talk about Tshuva, we use the vocabulary of change a lot. We talk about changing. But really, the very word Tshuva means returning. And returning implies to go back to a place where you already were. So even if behaviorally you're going to change, but deeply emotionally you are becoming what you were. You're becoming what you were. You know, I don't know if anyone here is an artist or a sculptor. I'm not. But I know that being a sculptor, Bichlal has all sorts of Shilas and Halacha, which I'm not going to get into. But sculptors often say that when they carve something out of wood, they're not really carving it. They see, and they somehow, again, this was an artist said, they see the shape in the wood and they're just removing the blockages. They're removing the impediments so that the thing that is imminent in the wood can come out. That's what chinuch is. Chinuch is to remove the rough edges so that the godless of the person can come out. Now it's very hard in our modern, you know, it's very difficult for a machanech to do that. If you have a lot of students, how do you do that? In fact, people criticize sometimes. They say that too many of our schools, yeshivas, they read the pasuk like a glitzianer yid. They say, Chaneich lenar al pi darki, which means train the nar according to my derech, as opposed to darkai. But that is why originally, you know, the Gemara in Rebbe Basra says that Yeshua ben Gamla, who was a kain gadol at the Bayis Sheni, should be zocher lataif. He should be remembered lataif. Because he made the takana that every single city has to have a cheder, has to have a yeshiva, and people have to pay taxes, everyone had to pay for the up, even if you didn't have children, and this was a gavaldiga thing, because originally what happened was, the Gemara in Baba Basra says, every father would teach his child. But what happened was, there were yesaimim, or fathers who couldn't do it, so he created schools. Now this was a gewaldige thing, this was a necessary thing, this was an amazing thing. In fact, Jewish society was the first society in the world that had publicly funded education. Yeah, it was Torah, of course, but this is the first one. The first public schools were in Jewish societies. And yet, as wonderful as this is, and Chazal says, Zachor Latoyv, he will be remembered for eternity for creating this Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. You see from the Gemara clearly, it was a second best choice. It was not as good as a parent learning with their children. And part of that is, number one, the Tzuras HaMitzvah of the Torah is in itself Vishinantam Levanecha. And even though we darshan, Banecha is Tamidecha, but a Mikra Yaitse Midei Pshuto, and the optimal mitzvah is a father to a child. And number two, only when you have a parent-child is it shayach for real, chanoch l'naro pidarko. If I have 20 kids in my class, how could I teach each one according to his derech? But if it's one-to-one, if the parent is capable, not all parents are capable even emotionally, and I don't just mean lack of knowledge, even if someone has, but sometimes, you know, just like lahabdul for driving, sometimes a parent is not the best... the best to teach their child driving. So in Torah too, sometimes a parent may not have patience, whatever. But in an ideal situation, a parent is the best teacher. Chanoch lenar, al pi darkai. When it didn't become shayach, so we had to go. You know, I remember, you know, years and years and years ago, I was a professor at Champaign-Urbana, University of Illinois, which is around 200 miles south of Chicago. And in those days, there was no Jewish community there at all. I used to go from Chicago, I would teach there 2 days a week and then go back to Chicago. So when I was there, there were two frum couples who lived in Champaign-Urbana. They were Shomer Shabbos. And on Shabbos, they sometimes had a minyan, sometimes not. I remember I once had to be there for Shabbos, and in southern Illinois, even worse than Chicago, it was like 50 inches of snow. And I tried to walk to a minyan, and it took me like 2 hours to go a half a mile. It was a real long time. And I got there, there was takin or minyan, you know, but there was at least that Shabbos is schar halicha, for sure. So, you know, it wasn't shayach to live there. I mean, there was no minyan, no nothing. But I did remember, I used to stay over at one of the professor's houses, and their kids went to public school. But every night, the father would sit and learn with them. They were like, you know, fourth grade, fifth grade. Sit and learn with them for 2 hours, every night. And although I would never give anyone an etzah to move to a place without a yeshiva, but there was something very moving, I have to say, about a mamash of a shinantum levanach, where a parent was involved. You know, because we have, Baruch Hashem, we have schools, we have chadarim, we have all sorts of things, so we can kind of, you know, We care about our learning, and the kids will, you know, learn in school. No. But here you really had a parent that had to take so much achrayas. And it's interesting, I met some of the boys who, you know, were in fourth and fifth grade now, you know, one is a Rav, you know, one is a Rav of Shul, you know, they became, they're all from, and, you know, they didn't go to yeshiva till high school. High school already, they went to yeshiva out of town. But their whole elementary life was based on their father and mother teaching them. So that was Vishinantam Levanecha, that was Chanoich Lenar Al Pi Darkei. Yeah, so that's something to remember. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky once said that one of the problems we have in Chinuch is that Chinuch represents the hotel beds of Sadaim. This is a Medrash. The Medrash says that in Sadaim, they also had hotels, but the hotel was, one size bed. If your legs were too long, they cut them off. And if your legs were too short, they stretch them, you know, till there. The Greeks will have a very similar myth, Procrustean bed, whatever it would be. And if Yaakov said, that's the problem, the one size fit all. I mean, you have to fit. You have to fit. You think differently, you look at things differently, no good. And that's the opposite of Chanach Lenar Al Pi Darkei. Yeah.
The Rashi and Kedushin seems to learn the pasuk actually going on the father's derech, the parents' derech.
Yes. That is true. The Gruz Pshat, although the Gruz Pshat, I think, is the most famous Pshat of it. This Gruz explanation is very well known, and in fact, when most people use the pasuk, although they may not know they're saying the Vilna Gaon's explanation, but in fact, they are saying the Vilna Gaon's explanation that every person has a derech, and the chinuch must be the derech of the Talmud. Other Mefarshim do learn that, number one, some learn it even in a negative way, meaning they learn it this way, it's funny. They say, if you give a kid what he wants, meaning train him according to what he wants, then even when he's old, he's going to be spoiled. Meaning they look at it mamish the opposite way, in terms of not giving in, you know, to his derech, because his derech needs to be changed, or the third pshat is like you say, the father has to have his own derech in which he's mechanech. Although grammatically, I think that's a little difficult because chanoch is a second person verb. If you train, so it should say chanoch lenar al pi darkecha. I know that being Tartovic is a little difficult. But some do learn it negatively. If you dare train a child according to what he wants, then even when he's old, you're going to have a... Which is an interesting issue. You know, I once read a story about a Rebbetzin who had a very, very large family, and all of the kids grew up to be... they were very wild kids when they were young. And they all grew up to be tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim. So somebody said, gee, how could this be? You know, you really didn't discipline. You know, you really kind of let them do whatever they wanted. So she said that she and her husband had the following issue. They said, we ask ourselves, if our kids are doing something wrong, are they going to be doing this behavior in 20 years from now? She said, if it's not a behavior they're going to be doing 20 years from now, there is no reason to be upset. So, this is nafka mina. If they lie, if they're selfish, if they're mean, if they're cruel, these are things that people can do as adults too. So we have to discipline. But, you know, if they're climbing trees, if, you know, they spill the milk, those are things that b'derech hateva they're not going to do later. So why should I be upset now? Right now they're kids. The fact that they're not doing such good stuff now, that's not important. What is important is, however, if this will be a precursor to how they'll behave later, like that's what chinuch is, right? Chinuch is not so a kid does mitzvah. Chinuch is to train a person to when they become chayav that they'll do things in the right way. So she says the test was any behavior that they will naturally grow out of. He says there's nothing. She took the position there was no reason to have discipline at all. It was only behaviors that you don't grow out of that you have to be mechanech. And of course, in the Igeres Hagra, which he wrote to his family when he went to Eretz Yisrael, never got there, but when he went on his way to Eretz Yisrael, the only thing he mentioned about discipline is if the children lie. He says, if they lie, you know, we have to be very, very tough to be Iker Sheker from them. He didn't say anything about messy room or whatever it was. Yeah.
If a person sees a child and the child says, a child lies to an adult, is the person mechuyav to tell his parents?
Well, generally speaking, yeah, but it depends. You know, if you know the parents and if they overreact or if you can make a judgment that if you think they don't handle it well, then you shouldn't tell them.
The parents will not
handle it well? Yeah, because it'll make the child, it'll be worse for the child, meaning there'll be no tuelas. But usually you should tell the parents. But if you know the parents do not handle it in a good way, then it's better not to. Maybe tell the Rebbe in school, you know, there might be other people you could tell without being over on Lashon Hara.
Yeah. Someone sees a child and say the parents aren't around, doing something it shouldn't be. When is one allowed to take chinuch into someone else's child into your own hands?
Well, the truth is, you should always be allowed to do that. The only question is, you may get in trouble with the parents, which is not a matter of halacha, just a matter that parents get very, very, very offended. In fact, according to Masaira, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna got basically arrested because of that. You know, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, great, great tzaddik, was in hiding because he was sentenced to death. And the Vilna Gaon told him, leave Vilna and go to a small town. And the story goes, that one time he was learning, and there was a little kid who kept on interrupting everybody. And he told the kid in a bit sharp tone to behave himself. And the father got so upset that the father suspected who he was, and the father was malshin on him, resulting eventually in his death. I mean, over such a little thing like that. That's how he got. That's how he got caught, and that's how he got caught. That's how he got arrested. You know. So I'm not saying it'll happen to most of us. Most of us won't happen that way. But you know, there used to be a chiluk. You know, in the I don't know how it is in Eretz Yisrael so much. I mean, in the United States, it used to be common both among Jews and even non-Jews that people would kind of take a little responsibility for other people's kids. You know, they would like. Everybody was like a bit of a parent. Today, like, you're afraid, you know, you don't want to get involved with someone else's kid because the parents will get very resentful and defensive and everything else. Yeah.
The story of the Ger Tzedek of Vilna, do you understand that to be a true story?
Absolutely, no question, absolutely true. It is not a fiction. We have his grave. His grave is next to the Vilna Gaon. The ashes, in other words, the ashes of his grave. He was buried next to the Gaon. I mean, he died before the Gaon, but they put him next to where the Gaon was later buried. And in fact, for many, many years, a beautiful, beautiful tree grew over that grew over the grave. I don't remember the story. There was a story why it eventually died. It was also connected to something else. It did die after around 200 years. And there was even a reason for that. I don't remember the reason for that. I have to check it. No, the Ger Tzedek of Vilna is a very, very, it's a very true story. Yep, okay. All right, maybe we'll stop here and have a good week. Later.
But then the ball was moved.